in a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
Well, thank you for joining us this evening here on Revelation. We're going to get into this in a kind of an interesting way, but first of all, I do want to thank all of you for tuning in. You certainly are the most intelligent people on the planet. You're listening to truth, and getting to the truth makes a lot of difference in a world filled with hypocrisy and lies, a misdirection, a magician's trick. And this, I have to say, tonight's show was inspired by Maggie Hart. Maggie sent me a message the other day. It was a video, actually. And it was 6 hours. And I'm like, wait a minute. I can't do that. I don't watch movies for that reason. It's got to be a really interesting movie for me to sit down and watch it. I gather information, and that's like way too much information. So she actually started listening to it, and the interesting thing was that it was speaking about the last day prophecies and, you know, the life of Jesus, and the things that they were saying about the life of Jesus made no sense. And it's because they themselves don't understand the truth. They've only understood the doctrine that they've been fed. People will say, oh, Jesus died for our sins. Well, yeah, kind of. But so what? Now we can all go to heaven? And they don't comprehend the politics of the Bible, really what we would call exopolitics. Remember, Jesus said, teach people about my kingdom, not about my religion. Exopolitics. It's all about exopolitics. When Satan took Jesus to the high, an unusually high mountain, showed him the kingdoms of the world and said, for an act of worship, you can have all of these. And Jesus said, it is Jehovah your God alone that you must worship. You know, we're going back to the creation, the creator of everything that we know and beyond what we can comprehend in this physical, spiritual world in which we live in. So there's a lot of dynamics that we just don't live long enough to comprehend. But here's the interesting thing. In a follow-up conversation I had with Maggie, she was telling me about the content of this video. She said, it's awfully hard for her to get through. Yeah, I would listen to about 10 minutes of it and said, yeah, I'm done. Because one of the things that they said is that, well, Jesus didn't really die. You know, somebody else died for him. He just slowed his breathing down and they thought he was dead. And he really escaped death. But then he went to heaven, and then he came back to be with his apostles, and then he went to heaven again. Or maybe he just married and started the Merovingian king line, which also makes no sense. Most people look and try to paint Jesus as the typical Hebrew man in that time, who generally was married by the age of 30. He most likely would have married a younger, fairer maiden of the community in which he lived. But that wasn't the case with Yeshua, which is actually the Hebrew name for Jesus, Jesus, son of Zeus. Yeshua actually means salvation is in Jehovah, or salvation is in Yahuwah. Yeshua. Think about it. The syllables are essentially the same, but regardless. And so it was actually to Jesus' death was to ransom back the fact that Adam had sold his soul to Satan. Adam made a bad choice. And he, in this process, it was essentially he let himself be seduced by Eve. And Eve let herself be seduced by the serpent. And by the way, here's another one that they spread. The serpent did not have sexual intercourse with Eve. The beguiling was to create desire in her to partake of this fruit, which most likely had a telomere virus in. And so that's where the whole thing corrupts. I've talked about this before. And so it's a spiritual or mental seduction, because they don't read far enough to go to Genesis chapter 4, and it says that Adam had sex with Eve, and they produced a son, and the first son they named Cain. And then they did it again, and they had Abel, and I'm sure they kept on doing it. They Adam lived 936 years, and I'm sure every woman is born with over 400,000 eggs in her ovaries. Do the math. You would have to live 35,000 years old to pass them all if you were passing one a month. But anyway, regardless, this is where science starts to come into all of this. I'm a little bit off subject, but the whole purpose for Jesus' death was to buy back Adam selling his soul to Satan. And in successfully doing that, he was granted the kingdom that we call Earth. Actually, God's kingdom, he gets to rule over for doing that. And so it's not just Earth, it's across all dimensions. Remember, Revelation 12 talks about war broke out in heaven. And so that's where it starts out. But how does it come into play where we are today? And the interesting thing, this whole video of misinformation or disinformation was done, and Maggie said, these guys have over 100,000 viewers. There's, you know, a significant channel. I wish we had 100,000 viewers. Boy, that'd be cool. Used to once upon a time. We're going to see if we can't do that again. But that's a different show. And then in their credentials, they let everybody know that they were degreed Freemasons. Freemasons putting out tripe that they have no comprehension of, that they're selling is truth. Think about that. And the sad part is that right now, people are waking up to the fact that, are we living in the biblical last days? Oh, there's a lot of biblical references being made by even the president on his National Prayer Day. So the information is being disseminated down. Why? And so now the narrative has to be controlled. But boy, there's just so many branches to take. But we look at, this is a controlling class. The Freemasons. There's approximately 4 million Freemasons worldwide who are part of the Brotherhood. I'm going to say a vast majority of them have no idea about what kind of organization that they've joined. Nor do they comprehend the full roots, although they'll say, yeah, well, we go back all the way to Solomon's Temple. Further than that. And so there's interesting side note. I think we talked about this last week. Maybe not. But in the military, 4 out of 5 generals are Freemasons. You want to get up the ranks of Freemasons, the ranks of the military? Yeah, become a Freemason. Riscala, you were in the military. Did you notice any obvious Freemason symbols? You may not have, because it's military, and so everything's got to be military standard. But you know, I was special oblivious. Handshakes.
I was oblivious to all of that. I was still a young, you know, with all the hormones raging and worrying about having to be shipped off to war. That was the last thing I wanted.
Yeah, and we weren't aware of it back then. We weren't aware of it. You know, you'd see a Mason Hall, but back when you were in the, you know, when we were considerably younger of drafty age, you joined. I slipped through. Thank you, Richard Nixon. He ended the draft. But so we really weren't paying much of attention to it. And I really wasn't introduced to the beginnings of it when a friend of mine who used to fly fish with, he worked in the electronics field. He was quality control engineer in the company that built electronics for the government. You know, it was a component. They got an order. Well, you know, he's in the electronics field, and he said, I'm going to become a Freemason. And I'm like, you're going to join a guild that of Masons? You're in electronics. What the hell do you know about Masonry? You know, that was my thinking. And then he kind of explained it. He said, you know, you got to have, anybody can join. You got to have a sponsor to come in. It does, you know. And I was inside of a Freemason temple, and there was no ceremony going on. I went down there with him one time looking around. Nice, interesting black and white floor. You know, he was doing it from basically like people join Facebook today or some social platform. It was a social connection. And then he started telling me, well, you know, you get to know who all the people are, and you're all brothers. And so, you know, let's say you need work done, or this guy's got a business, you patronize his business, he gives you, you know, because your brother, you get 10% off, things of that nature, that they work together. It's all different businesses that have come together. Like, oh, that doesn't sound very harmful or anything, you know, that sounds positive. Until you realize their history, their roots. And it goes back to the Knights Templar. It goes back prior to that. It goes back to Tammuz, the star god. It goes back to Egypt, where the pharaohs believed that when they died, they became a star. They learned that from the Sumerians. Isis was the goddess of the earth, moon, and stars. You know, think about it. And so starts the folklore of religion. And the most notorious star god was Molech, or people who worshiped Baal Ashtoreth and then sacrificed their children to Molech. And so child sacrifice was adopted by the nation of Israel. They were told to wipe out the Canaanites when they went into the Holy Land. They didn't wipe out the Canaanites, and in a few generations, they started becoming Baal worshippers. They started sacrificing their children to a god who was represented by a six-sided star. And when the Knights Templar were formed, we know that 70 CE, the Romans come in, they lay the siege to Jerusalem. They basically hold it on siege. Nobody can get in and out for 90 days. They starve the people to death in there, basically. At the end of the 90 days, they broke down the walls. They went, people didn't have any fighting left in them. They were starving. They went in, they actually slaughtered over 2 million Jews, because they caught it at Passover when everybody was coming in for Passover. The historian Josephus said that there was actually blood running through the streets that were putting out fires that had started in the marketplace. Empty fruit stands, whatever. Now it becomes flammable debris, easy to set on fire as the Romans come in, start burning stuff down. There was enough blood to put out the fire. They took over 80,000 captive back to Italy, back to Rome. And by the end of the first century, 90% of them had bought their way out of slavery. And they became part of the population. And then from there, those people who were taken captive, you'd have to figure that they were people who actually lived in the city, and they were probably more high ranking than the priest class or the ruling class, because they would have been the most well healed. They would have had food while everybody else was starving to death. And so they would have all of the wealth and everything that the Romans could find, along with the ruling class, that they turned into slaves and marched them all the way back to Rome. And that was the end of the city. Until the Knights Templar were formed during the First Crusades. They were the first knights. And here's where the legend of the Knights Templar start. Riscal, I'm sure you're familiar with Oak Island, right?
Oak Island?
Yeah. It's in season 13. They're searching for Knights Templar gold on Oak Island. Sorry to put you on the spot. But anyway, there's a lot of legend in history connected to the Knights Templar. The Knights Templar had their identifying mark was a red cross on a white background. And they had Columbus's ships, red crosses on white sails. I wonder where he was connected to. And it's believed that he was, Hebrew. Do the research. But anyway, when they went back, a lot of people say, well, they found that, they were looking for the Holy Grail and the Ark of the Covenant. Gotta love Indiana Jones and those semi-historic movies, but Raiders of the Lost Ark was interesting. Whatever happened to the Ark, nobody really knows. It disappeared prior to the Babylonians taking siege of Jerusalem in the around 600 BC. So it disappeared at that point, but nobody knows where it disappeared to. So there's a lot of legends in that, you know, the Knights Templar found Solomon's gold because they became so rich. And there's a lot of kind of like controversy around it because nobody really knows for sure. But the one thing that everybody agrees on, I'm saying everybody, all the people that are researched this subject, say that they found ancient knowledge. And that ancient knowledge would have taken them back to the worship of the star gods. Because that's where it leaves off. And so then there's this connection. All of a sudden, we got to go on these crusades to get back to Jerusalem. And what most historians won't tell you is that when the Knights Templar captured Jerusalem, they laid siege to the city. They did what the Romans did. They laid siege to the city, and then they when they finally invaded the city, they killed every man, woman, and child, Christian, Jew, or Muslim. They killed them all, and then they started digging. How did they know there was something to dig for? How did they know that there was artifacts that they needed to get? And the Knights Templar, in the research that I did, it seems to have changed a little bit since I wrote Letters to Earth a little over 15 years ago. But the Knights Templar was started by four Hebrew brothers. They were the first of the Knights. Did they know that there was something that they had to retrieve, that they had to get? Something valuable that their ancestors left behind almost 1,000 years before that, when the city was decimated? And we know that there's plenty of underground tunnels under the city of Jerusalem. Several of them are well documented. Are there more that they haven't found? But something compelled the Knights Templar to dig, and they found information. What information did they find? They found the information of the Kabbalah out of Egypt and the Talmud out of Babylon. And they worshiped the star gods again. And that now starts to get infiltrated by same rituals. Knights Templar, from this quote, poor order of knights, to becoming the second most powerful entity next to the Catholic, Holy Roman Catholic Church. Think about that. The most second powerful entity. As the story goes, Prince Philip of France owed them a large sum of money, more than he could ever pay back. So he got his cousin, the Pope, to outlaw the Knights Templar. And then the Knights Templar and their fortunes seemed to literally disappear overnight. They obviously got inside information. Obviously. And so this order of knights was scattered. And we know that this order of knights, based on the information that they got, and maybe a small stipend, did they find the Ark of the Covenant? That has never been talked about. And, there doesn't seem to be any trace to it. Who knows? It might be in the Smithsonian archive somewhere next to the giant bones, just like the Raiders of the Lost Ark depicted. Yeah, it's in this giant warehouse somewhere. Oh, my God. Yeah, artifacts that they'll never tell us about. But regardless, they're there. And so it develops throughout history. And they do have, it's not just some story, but they do have advanced knowledge. Because you go from when Rome was at its peak. Now, you know, look at the Colosseum. Now, I've never seen the Colosseum personally. I had an overnight in Rome once upon a time. And it did a small amount of evening sightseeing. But regardless, it's an interesting place. I wasn't amazed by, you know, I wasn't right down in the heart. In the Holy Center itself. But just the ruins that I saw were, you know, you look at something, it's like, wow, it's like 2,000-3,000 years old, you know. What do we have here in the United States? Nothing quite that much. Europe is interesting because you've got castles that date back to the 1100s. Who built those? You see, there was this whole period of what they call the Dark Ages, where technology seemed to have gotten lost. And then all of a sudden, and the Knights Templars are credited with turning Europe from edifices of wood into edifices of stone. And when you... Riscal, have you ever seen any of the cathedrals over there? I don't know if you spend any time in Europe, but sooner or later you got to come across one of, you know, 300, 400-year-old cathedral.
Some of the cathedrals that I saw when I was in England were amazing. The artwork and what it reminded me of are the... describe it. The design that was in the windows and stuff like that reminded me of frequencies. When you put sand on a surface and you hit it with a frequency and it changes all these different designs, that's what it reminded me of. So it was almost as though these people knew that about frequencies and they could display it, I guess is the best way to describe it, in the churches and build it right into the church.
Yeah. Hello, Tartaria. And that's where, with the bells that they put into church, were all put in there to, they were literal healing centers when the bells rang. Maggie kind of taught me this. I didn't do the research myself, give credit where credit is due, because she's into the whole more holistic healing. And, this may very well have been what Tartaria was all about, these fantastic buildings. But yeah, where did the knowledge come from? This is advanced knowledge. The most impressive church that I saw was the one in Strasbourg, France. I never did see Notre Dame, not that I really cared, but the one in Strasbourg, France was massive and yet delicate. And it had beautiful archway flying buttresses holding this whole structure, you know, supporting the whole structure. And the intricate carvings and the amount of carvings that were put into this church, absolutely amazing. However, it was still, geez, I don't know, the 300-year-old church. I don't remember how old it was, but, you went in there and it's like, you could hear everything that was going on in there. You say, oh, this has got terrible acoustics. No, everything just reverberates. Everything just reverberates. Could you imagine an organ playing in that? So yeah, they knew they had that advanced technology. And who do you have to thank for that? Knights Templar? Freemasons. They're intertwined, and basically what you have, and they still exist today, and they're part of what's running this planet. We fast forward to the French Revolution. That's where we see it the most. We see it a bit in the American Revolution, especially the Masonic end. Hello, George Washington. And the Masonic symbols all in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. modeled itself after the Vatican. Look at it from the air. Go to Google Earth. Look at Washington, D.C. Match it up with the Vatican. You got St. Peter's Cathedral, then you got the obelisk, and then down further toward in the beginning of the Vatican Wall, you've got the five-sided fort. You mean the Pentagon? Yeah, the Pentagon. Interesting. And so there's a connection within a connection that all has to do with these same symbols being played over and over. And the one thing that the Knights Templar, most likely bloodlines of old Hebrew families, one thing that they want to do is get rid of religion because of what religion had done to them. And so we see in the French Revolution was started, and that their war cry basically was equality, freedom, and brotherhood, fraternity. Wait a minute. Are those Freemason terminologies? Think about it. Think about it. And so you had a political figure, Napoleon, who makes himself emperor over Europe and destroys the Holy Roman Empire. He waged war against the Holy Roman Empire. Something the history books don't really tell us. But after the Napoleonic Wars, the Holy Roman Empire ceased to exist. Think about that. Brotherhood, fraternity. Freemasons are a fraternity. They also have another group called the Eastern Star. And that, and from what I understand, in order to be a member of the Eastern Star, you have to be 33rd degree above. And it is open to women too. So you have women who are also 33rd degree Eastern Stars. I happen to kind of know one that I was dating their daughter when I was in my late teens. Later teens, anyway. I can only imagine if I married her, I would have been brought into the family business. That would have strange repercussions. But anyway, that's a whole nother show. So what we have, we're getting back to this, we have actual governments now which are being run by one of these two groups, if not directly, indirectly. If you've had, I don't know how many people have heard of the Council of 300. Riscal, have you heard of the Council of 300? Sorry to put you on the spot again.
If my mic would work. Yes. I've heard of the Council of 300.
Okay. Do you know how they're connected into the other groups?
No, I just know they're part of the overall scheme of things to get rid of people.
Yeah, kind of. And this is the interesting thing. The Council of 300 is made up of, quote, the Illuminati. illuminated ones. Now, the interesting thing is that the Knights Templars worshipped Lucifer, the god of the free mate, and Lucifer. We could make that connection right back to Tammuz. He's a star god, or back to the star gods of Egypt. And they've brought the symbolism into place. Why is there an Egyptian obelisk in the Vatican courtyard? Why is the penis of Ra in a place that is supposed to be the holiest Christian place on the planet? How do you think Jesus feels about that? Hey, wait a minute. Well, wait a minute. They don't really worship Jesus anyway, because Mother Mary would be Semiramis, the goddess of the earth, moon, and stars. And so they deify Semiramis and they deify Tammuz. That's why if you look at iconic images of Mary and Jesus, that they're in royal garb. Some of them. So it's interesting. What you have is Babylonian and Egyptian influence within the church, which is what came out of Jerusalem during the days of the Knights Templar.
Peter.
Yes, sir.
Take a look at this. I don't know how much detail you can see on your phone, but
yep.
This was what I was talking about. This almost looks like a symbol of a frequency of some sort. I tried to cross-reference it and see if it cross-referenced directly over. But this is the kind of thing that I see in these videos when they're showing how sound can change different objects. And the most common one is they'll take sand and put it on a platform, put a speaker below it, and then play different frequencies, and you get these different patterns. This one looks like a pattern of a frequency to me. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah, and I'm sure that, you know, hey, whichever one you're related to is probably the one that you went to. And that seems to be, and by no means am I very knowledgeable on Tartaria, but I've not seen a good documentary on Tartaria, and it's what's possible, but it's all hypothetical as well, because it's very obscure. Tartaria was supposed to be an advanced civilization that dominated a good portion of what is Russia. Yeah, you have to wonder about some of the biblical prophecies when it comes to Gog of Magog. It's just an interesting area, but I don't know enough about it. But they had this advanced technology. Yes, you would go in and they had different bells playing at different vibrations, which was creating a healing effect. Oh, wow. It was so spiritually uplifting. Today, people pay great money to go for sound baths where you're engrossed, or you're being bombarded by pure sound waves playing at a specific frequency. Interesting. My ancestors used to be bell makers. Klingenschmidt. We made bells, and then we started a war against the Catholic Church, who bought most of our bells. Whatever. Yeah, it wasn't a real good business decision to support Martin Luther, but it did change history. But here we are today. Now, the interesting thing is this group that has gained control of the church that has gained control of business, that has gained control of seats of power, that have gained control over militaries, politicians, and they all have one thing in common: the worship of Lucifer, the star god. Think about that. Riscullo, we're playing with the system that was set up 5,000 years ago. Do you know what it's going to be like to rake out the corruption?
I can't even imagine, because I'm seeing so much of it happening. Hey, I looked up something while you were talking. Can you see your screen?
Oh, yeah, there they are, the patterns.
So look, the one in the center on the bottom looks so similar to, where's that picture? So similar to this thing.
Yes.
That and this. So it's like I was saying, it's almost like, and I really do think they knew how frequencies can affect people. And not only they did that through the bells, but they did it through visual. I mean, so if you're somebody who doesn't know what you're looking at, it still doesn't change the effect of what it does. I think that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
If you're looking at a pyramid, it still doesn't change what a pyramid does. You may not recognize it as a pyramid, but you're looking at a pyramid, still doesn't change what it does if it has an effect on you. The same thing with this, the pattern on this church. You may not recognize what it is, but it still doesn't change the fact that it has an effect on people.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. And so, but at what cost did they get this advanced technology? We look at that.
Yeah.
And at what cost? You go back to Pharaoh when Moses first went before Pharaoh. You remember that we get the story of he threw down his staff and it became a big snake.
Yeah.
What did Pharaoh do? Do you remember?
He had his guy throw down a. Do I remember that right? His magician threw down a something and made a snake, and then Moses' snake ate that snake, right? Or something like
well,
that.
Well, a little bit more grandiose. He called in all his magicians and wise men, and they all brought their staffs along, and they all threw them down, and they all became snakes. What kind of power did those guys wield?
Interesting.
What kind of incantations did they use? Yeah. Now, the one thing is that, yeah, Moses' snake ate all of their snakes. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know how many were there, but, you know, Pharaoh sent for all of them. And so they were all able to do that little parlor trick. But through what incantation? Because they were controlling supernatural forces. Right?
Wow.
Moses did it in the name of Yahuwah, God Most High, the creator of everything. Those magic practicing priests had to do it in the name of Satan. To bind those spirits in the name of Satan somehow, or another powerful deity. When we look at the book of Daniel, we're told that in Daniel, I believe it's the sixth chapter, Daniel's praying for the future of his people. I've talked about this before on the air, and he's not getting any answer. And finally, the angel Gabriel shows up and says, "Hey, sorry, Daniel, I was late, but I was fighting who? The Prince of Persia." Huh. Where are we having a problem today? It's with the Prince of Persia. That's an exopolitical situation that's going on. right now, it's a whole nother show when we start talking about the principalities that are ruling this planet. But that's where they're designed to. And before Gabriel leaves and he says, look, the Prince of Greece is coming. And so that would mean that you would have a Prince of Rome. You would have a Prince of the United Kingdom, which would also include America up until just recently. You had what is commonly called the Anglo-American dual world power. England ruled the seas for the first 200 years, and now the United States has been ruling them for the last 200 years, and still ruling them today, evidently. But regardless, we're dealing with those princes. But we also now have the king of the pit of the abyss. We've talked about this before. The king, the beast that was, but is not, but was not, and ascends out of the abyss. And boy, doesn't that mirror Trump's presidency? It ascended out of the abyss. Here's a little side note. The last president, Riscala, I don't know, there was a lot of people observed this, and that is when Trump took the oath of office, he did not put his hand on the Bible. Did you notice that?
Yeah. I also noticed recently he said, I'm not making it to heaven.
Hey, personally, from what I was shown, heaven is not my calling. That wasn't what I was shown. And keep in mind, I was dead once and got sent back. So that's a different show. But and Trump's right in what he's saying, because the scriptures talk about having a genetic healing, which is made possible by the ransom sacrifice that Jesus did make, and have our DNA healed during this 1,000 years of peace that is coming up. If we're having 1,000 years of peace, why do people want to leave the planet? Oh, it's going to get awfully crowded on Earth. Yeah, and during that 1,000 years, you'll have the resurrection of the dead. Interesting. Are we going to have zombies walking around? Nope. There'll be bodies that you will recognize as your parents and grandparents and lost loved ones. Imagine that. All those people coming back. How difficult is that? There's a record of their DNA. Not difficult at all.
Well, if you think there's a lot of people now.
And, you know, yeah, the Earth can hold comfortably 17 billion people. Expand the deserts so they blossom. And you probably push that 20, 25 billion people. Oh, but sooner or later, we're going to run out of land. Yeah, so it's all been calculated out. Because you go back to Genesis, and it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You had to start somewhere. Earth is where it starts. There are billions of planets, just like Earth, with all sorts of different flora and fauna over it. That are just absolutely beautiful and ready to be inhabited. Your seed will become like the sands of the sea. They will become like the stars of the heavens.
There's more. I'll take mine with no Zionists. Thank you.
What's that?
I'll take my planet with no Zionists. Thank you.
Well, and absolutely, we're going to get this planet with no Zionists. So getting back to tonight's theme, and you just touched an interesting point. You see, the one thing that the Freemasons have been able to do is infiltrate areas that normally religious entities couldn't infiltrate. However, those entities with their extremist views are in place too, the religious ones. But where it all ties back to is the protocol of the learned elders of the synagogue of Satan. And that's where it all comes back to. They've controlled the narrative for well over 1,000 years. Actually, longer than that. But since they came to power 1,000 years ago, a lot of things have been reshaped, including our they established our basic monetary system, fractional lending. The Rothschilds perfected it. Hey, we don't even need gold. We'll just pull numbers out of the air. Interestingly enough, what Iran does have a central bank. They do issue debt notes, but they don't use the SWIFT money transfer system. So it's extremely difficult to track where Iran's money comes and goes to. But now it's coming at becoming more and more known. It's connected to the city of London, the second leg of taking down Babylon the Great. Trump has gained control of the power. He's used that power to take control of the banksters. And from the banksters, it goes to religion. Now, you still have to get cooperation from the people within these organizations who want to root out evil, even though they want to keep their own brand of belief. And so we are going to see certain things in the future which would fulfill what the Knights Templar wished to have fulfilled. And it'll fall in line with the rebuilding of Solomon's Temple in Jerusalem. And keep in mind that the British Crown has reserved the right to rule from Jerusalem. Think about that. And so who's next in line? Newsflash, Prince Charles has been dead for quite some time. But who's next in line? Prince William? Could you see Prince William ruling from Jerusalem? And while he's ruling there, the Temple of Solomon is rebuilt. And he rededicates the Temple of Solomon, and we have peace around the world, a time of peace and security. And then the end will be instantly upon them. And that's where that's pretty much where we're headed. In the end, it comes down to a very interesting scenario that's being played out now. We've talked about it for the last several shows, and it comes down to the alien connection. And over the last week, I've heard different people chiming up, and not that I pay a whole lot of attention to what they say, but, oh, the Galactic Federation of Light is talking about ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Same Galactic Federation that showed up in 2012 and who told us that their leader is Lucifer and that they are our genetic engineers. Chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5 in Letters to Earth. That's pretty much what I said. Crazy.
No. Not that it's funny, but I can't help but get a little chuckle out of if people really found that out, what do you think would happen, Peter? We can't even get them to come together and oust a bunch of pedivores and pedophiles. You think that if somebody tells them about the aliens, they're going to do, it's like we've been, what's the word when I can't think of the word, when you've given somebody a bunch of fluoride, what happens to them to become?
They're pain, or they can't see anything. They can't, their spiritual senses have been cut off.
Yeah, dumbed down. So mm-hmm. I think that even if they told them about the aliens, oh, okay, well, so what? It's just like, you can't seem to get unity in our society about, and I would think, you know, unity over, it's wrong to harm a child. You can't unite over that. You think they're going to unite over aliens? I think that we've been hit with so much garbage that they're just going to go, oh, okay.
Well, okay. Yeah, I would tend to, you have to keep in mind one thing. You're right in a lot of what you say, but the majority of the people today, and I don't care what anybody says, even with the Q movement and the General Michael Flynn radio network, which is controlling the quote Patriot movement. Now, these guys, oh, I was awake, I just became awake just as COVID broke out. Yeah, and you got 300,000 followers. How the hell did that happen? Why? You joined the Flynn radio network? That's how that happened. You want to bet dollars to donuts that General Flynn's a Freemason? I got good odds on that one. I got 4-1 odds on that. Because 4 out of 5 generals within the military are Freemasons. So that's the believed number. Because it's a brotherhood. And they help each other all the way up. We talked about Pete Hegseth holding prayer meetings. What are they praying for? That they win the war? And what Jesus say, he who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. Pick up your swords, boys. Time to beat them into plowshares. And maybe that's a time that's coming, because I can't say this for sure, but I'm looking at the pieces as they're coming together. And it would seem that in their goal to bring Earth into a time of peace and security, that time period that we enter, which is probably still another 3 years off anyway, maybe 4, but at least 3, in my opinion, at least 3 years off, we have to do a lot of mop-up work. The rod goes deep to the core. You know, let me know. And they turned around and bombed the Vatican with the Pope and the Cardinals in it. Because that's what they did with the Ayatollah in Iran. They took out the religious heads. Boom, gone. No more religious extremists. And Scully, you picked this up. Harming children. And what happens when you find out that the Catholic Church has been the biggest purveyor of child trafficking and sex trafficking and human trafficking on this planet? We're going to get to that yet. We're going to get to that in Revelation chapter 18, where Babylon the Great falls. Among the inventory list brought to her by the merchants are human slaves and human souls. What's the difference between a slave and a soul? Is one sacrificial? Think about it. So we may actually get there, and once you start seeing it on the 5 o'clock or the 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock news being broadcast from coast to coast, that could put people on the same page. That could put people on the same page. You know, I get a kick out of the presidential rise and fall of Daddy Bush because of what he did in Iraq and General Schwarzkopf and the whole, you know, America was now a superpower. He turned around and his popularity went off the charts. And then when he was campaigning against Bill Clinton, he went into a supermarket and was amazed by a scanner scanning groceries. And he lost all identity with the people. So the people are kind of pickled. But show them, instead of brainwashing them, show them the truth on the nightly news. Hello, this is ABC Nightly News. Pope Leo has just been convicted of whatever. It's been estimated that the church has trafficked well over 20 million people, 20 million children in the last century. Maybe not even that long. So think about what happens. How many people get really upset when all of a sudden that there's been some priest who's turned out to be a pedophile? That goes out across the community like red flags all over the place. And how many priests get convicted and sent to jail? There's one other thing I did want to cover. Unfortunately, time has gotten away from us. But here's, I'll make this one simple point. The Pope has a papal knighthood. And among the knights, used to be the Knights Templar, but anyway, the Knights of Malta seem to be the preferred knight. But there are other knights and knighthoods that you can be given. But if you're a knight of the Pope, you are literally above the law of the land. Ronald Reagan was a knight of Malta. Daddy Bush was a knight of Malta. Bill Clinton was a knight of Malta. Baby Bush was a knight of Malta. And while Obama was not a knight of Malta, he was given a letter of endorsement by the Knights of Malta. The knighthood, depending on which faction, is a very powerful, very dirty entity. Because we know what all of those presidents, not so much Reagan, but we know what Bush Sr. involved in the drugging of America. Clinton, he just carried on the same cause and threw a whole bunch of sexuality into that. Baby Bush, I don't know. He was a puppet, basically. He was not much more than a sock puppet, so you got to look to Bill Cheney. Hello, wars in the Middle East that'll never end. And where do we find ourselves now? Just another war over there, but this one will end. After the last bombing, Trump may have gotten to the point where, okay, they're ready to listen now. We've got an agreement in place. Already, let's see how this works out. But Obama, the most decisive president, the most divisive president this country has ever had. And I knew that was going to happen before he was even elected. I knew that he would definitely win and that he would start racism. And now we know that it goes way beyond racism, but him and Big Mike are used to be a thing with a made-up family while they carried on their own little pizza and hot dog parties at the taxpayers' expenses. So we'll see this come out. We should see this come out. And it's going to be shocking. And people's heads are going to explode because they won't be able to take it. But when we know the truth, we know what to expect. We can be prepared for a situation, as last week's show. Be prepared. Be prepared. Both physically, spiritually, psychologically. Be prepared. Yep. It's time to go. And indeed it is. And so I do thank everybody for indulging me this evening. I would wish everyone love and blessings to themselves who listen and to all of their families and extended families. Love and blessings to all. Riscola, thank you very much for producing this show. I certainly do appreciate it. And with that, we'll be here same place, same time next week. Good night, everyone.